ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Subject of prayer, and last week we actually started, but we didn't touch on the steps to answer prayer. So tonight, by God's grace, I will just get straight into the Word of God so that we can cover. But let me just do a quick recap for those who are joining us for the very first time. We emphasize the fact that prayer is our fellowship with God. God is our Father. God is the Father to the believer. God is the source of life. The Bible, or rather the hymn writer says, "Praise be to God to whom all blessings flow." So we know that God is the very source. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, "The heart is his, and the fullness thereof, people and everyone who dwells in it." So when we pray, we are actually joining forces or hands with God to see his kingdom, his will, rulership be established here on the earth. God created all things with boundaries. So in Psalm 115 verses 15 and 16, he says, "The heavens, even the heavens, belongs to God, but the heart he has given us as the sons of men." We emphasize the fact that we are his workmanship. When we understand that, and the place of prayer, it's a responsibility. We are his workmanship. We are his ambassador here on the earth. Ephesians 2:10 emphasized that for us. And then secondly, we are to exercise and walk in our dominion mandate. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he said he has given us power to tread. So we have a dominion mandate. So when we pray, we are exercising that mandate. And then we said, thirdly, we are here to plant the kingdom culture. We see from places to places, we see things that are operating. Some places, they are like crime-infested areas. So when the believer live in such places, we can actually pray and establish the kingdom culture of love, of peace, of stability, instead of chaos, violence, and destruction. And then we said, lastly, that we are to reign as kings in God's domain. As we establish the kingdom culture, as we live our lives in where he has planted us, we are to reign as kings. Romans 5:17 emphasized that for us, that we who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we will reign. We made a statement that one of our patriarch made, that it is more important to learn how to pray than to get a college education. We said that education is good because it helps us. It promotes knowledge. But when we need to apply that knowledge into everyday living, we need the wisdom of God. And that is gotten through the place of prayer. We've emphasize why we pray. We pray basically for fellowship, for communication, and then to live in the reality of God's commandment. So prayer conversation should be as natural as we breathe. I mean, we don't struggle to breathe. We breathe naturally. We just take in the air and then we release it. We take in oxygen, we release, what do we release? Carbon dioxide, I just want to be sure. That's biology class. So we take in oxygen, which is released by the plant around us, and then we release carbon dioxide, which the plant uses to thrive. So God is life. So you take in life, you also release life. So we must understand that prayer, it should be as natural. We can't go all day without praying. We can't even go a minute without saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to be able to do this. Help me to be able to do that. We may not sit down in a place 5, 10, 20, 30 minutes, as the case may be, in the course of the day to be able to pray. But we can't go 5 minutes without uttering words in prayer, which depict our total dependence on the source of our lives. And then we say last week, that prayer matures us. It actually helps us to grow. We see things from the perspective of God. There's just one prayer that I prayed while I was praying. David said, unite my heart to fear your name. It's just a prayer. Unite my heart to fear your name. In other words, if our heart is united with God, we will reverence him. We will honor him. We will acknowledge him in all our ways. And he's bound to direct our path. So James 5:16 says, when we pray, it says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man, the one who has a relationship with God, Amplified rendered it, he makes tremendous power. James 5:16. He said he makes tremendous power available. So when we pray, we are making power, the power of the Holy Spirit, available. So we look at the steps. We look at the steps, the seven steps. So each time we have, because it's a divine privilege of the believer, each time we have that privilege to open our mouths to pray, number one thing that we must do, number one, we must be specific about our request, standing on the promises of God. We must be specific. We must be specific. If I mention now a red G550 Mercedes-Benz wagon, what has happened? If you know that kind of car, you have just seen the car in your mind. If I say Landmark Event Center, Victoria Island, if you have been to Landmark before, you've just seen Landmark in your mind. If I say Lagos Bar Beach or Atlantic City, if you have been to that place, your mind doesn't scatter. What does G550 wagon Mercedes-Benz mean? What does Landmark Event Center mean? No, it is specific. So you have a specific image. So if we are specific about natural things like that, when it comes to requests in the place of prayer, you and I must be specific. For example, I've just mentioned a car. So if you have a need for a car, you don't say, God, give me a car. You are not specific. That's vague. So if God gives you a Volkswagen 1963 model that you have to struggle to change the gear, you actually requested for a car. Do you understand how prayer works now? So we must be specific about our request. And if we are conversing with the headquarters or the source of life, we must be, based our prayer request or our prayer need on the promises of his word. I mentioned some things, I think 2 weeks ago, that God doesn't literally, if you look at it, he doesn't answer your prayer, he answers his own prayer. Because 1 John 5:14 says, he said, this is the confidence. So there is a confidence that comes when we ask anything according to his will. According to his will. So we must be specific. And if you understand the word of God very well, the word of God has promises. The Bible says, God has given us all things. They are yes and amen for us in Christ Jesus. So if you look at the context of the work of redemption, the Bible have categorized that into 3 instances. So you have deliverance from sin. So you have deliverance from poverty. And then you have deliverance from sickness. So whatever the needs of man, they said human needs are insatiable. Maslow theory talks about the basic need, how food, housing, water, and all the things. So shelter, everything that any man will need, when it comes to the subject of prayer, provision has been made for it in the Word of God. And so we need to be specific. We need to be specific. So how does this work? You ask yourself the question, what is the need? What is the need in my life? Or it may not necessarily be you. If it's you are praying for your nation, you are praying for your community, you are praying for other people, you ask that same question. What is the need that we are praying for? We are praying towards election 2023 in Nigeria. So that is a need. And what does the Bible say? We look at what the Bible says. What is the will of God? That's the second question. What is the will of God concerning this request? So if we are, for example, praying for our nation, the will of God is written clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. That's his will. The will of God is written clearly in Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace. So the will of God is written in his word. So we ask the question, what is the need? What are we praying for? Then we ask the second question, what is the will of God concerning this request? So we go through the pages of his word and then find out it is. And then thirdly, that's how to ask, be specific about our request. Thirdly, we ask the questions, what are the scriptures that clearly stated this will? These are steps to get prayers answered. We don't just pray like somebody said, I need a car. So we are specific. Number one, what is this need? What are we praying for? Number two, what is the will of God concerning this need or this request? Number three, what are the scriptures that clearly stated God's will? So it may be our family, it may be the nation, it may be that we are praying for revival, it may be that we are praying for our finances, it may be that we are praying for salvation of souls. We must establish God's will before asking. We must. So prayer is not, like I've emphasized, it's not the panic mode button that we press when we get into trouble. So we can, it's just like a lawyer who is standing to defend people in court. They state their case. They make references. Are there similar cases before? What were the judgment? So it's more like when we pray also, we are justifying the reasons why God must intervene in that affair of life. Praise God. Amen. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. For example, if we are praying for our nation, we must justify, because praying for the peace in our nation means peace in the marketplace, and then we are able to transact our businesses without any uproar or violence. You will agree with me tonight, if there is war in our nation, we probably won't be able to meet for service. So when we pray, we are praying for peace to reign. It said that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and in all righteousness. So if there is no peace in our nation, we can't gather for service. If there is no peace in our nation, fear will hold the hearts of men. If there is no peace in our nation, violence and destruction will be the order of the day. So when we pray for our nation, we pray with that specific request. What we want to see when we pray for revival, we pray with that understanding. So the things that are in the scripture covers the will of God. If we take, for instance, healing, health, wholeness, no, they are different things. So healing means somebody is already have issues in their wellness, so they are praying for restoration. Health means they don't have problem and they will not have problem. They are proactive in the reality of what God has done. Then wholeness is that all around they are whole, not just healing, not just health, finances and all that. So if we are praying, scriptures like Exodus 15, 26, we meditate on it. It confirmed to us, it said, I am the Lord, your personal physician. Exodus 15, 26. In case you are trusting God for your health, these are scriptures that you can have. That he said, I am the Lord who heals you. I mean, other translations render it, I am the Lord, your personal physician. So if you have a need for gynecology cases, is the Lord your personal gynecologist. You have something that has to do with brain, is the Lord your Brainology.
I just want to call your attention. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Another scripture. And you know, we know that healing is God's will for us. Even right from the whole Testament. Up till this time, it's his will. He wants his people well. So God is not an author of sickness. You know, by the time you start to meditate upon his will, you know that when you see sickness, it cannot be God. It cannot be God. It is something that is trying to infringe into the God-ordained life that he has given us. Exodus 15, 26. Exodus 23, 25. Exodus 23, 25. Exodus 23, 25. If you read that, it also gives us an understanding that God has a plan for our health and for our wholeness. Exodus 23, 25. I want to read it. 23, 25. Praise God. As I praise the Lord. So Exodus 23:25. I want to read it so that it says, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and he will take away sickness from the midst of you. That's God's mind. In Isaiah 53, the whole of Isaiah 53, I mean, Isaiah was prophesying into the day and the time that we live in. It says, he was wounded for our transgression, 53, 4 and 5. He was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By those stripes on the cross, we were healed. And yet, it was like a prophecy. And then Jesus came on the scene to just show us that God is interested in our health and wholeness. In fact, Acts 10:38 summarized that life. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But in Matthew 8:17, there is a clear call that God wants his people well. That's his desire. His desire is for his people to be well. In Matthew 8:17, if you read from verse 16, the Bible talks about something very instructive. 16, please. Matthew 8:16. Matthew 8:16, before the fulfillment. He said, when the evening came, or when evening came, as Amplified rendered it, he said, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons. And then he drove out the spirit with a word and restored to health all who were sick. So God couldn't be the one who puts sickness and the one taking it out. And we can see the origin of sickness. Sometimes it's just demonic oppression to heat up people's health, to rob them of their heat. That's why it's called disease. Something that robs you of your heat. So he restored to health. So wherever Jesus finds sickness, he always restores to health. So we can see that is his will. Then, after Jesus exited, and then the church began, the apostles came on the scene. 1 Peter 2:24 talks about it. It said, by whose stripes ye were healed. Ye were healed. Ye were healed. John was writing about it later. Turn John 2. He said, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health, not in sickness, even as your soul prospers. So soul prosperity, health of our bodies, consists of health in our body, health in our mind. So when we want something around healing, we are specific by establishing the scriptures that promises us health and wholeness, and then we can meditate on it, and then prayerfully in our conversation, declare it. How many of us know that the word that Jesus speaks to us, they are spirit and they are life? So you can speak to your body. You can speak to your body. You can speak health and wholeness to your body. So healing belongs to us today. Jesus took our infirmity. If I have anything affecting my head, it means I stole it from the devil. And it doesn't belong to me. So it's not my headache. It's not my migraine. It's not my arthritis. I can find out the mind of God and be specific. You were wounded for my transgression. And then through that confession, which is actually prayer, because we are aligning with what the will of God says in His word. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
The same thing goes for our finances and every area of our lives. You know what Mark 11:23-24 says, so that we can be specific about our requests. Mark 11, chapter 23, or verse 23 and 24. It said, truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, so whatever stands in our way can represent it, but we have to say something. He said, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believed what he says will take place, it will be done for him. He said, this is the reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. Other translation, KJV says, you will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. You will have. He said, if you desire it, you are specific with it, you will have the answers to your prayer. Can I have an amen tonight?
Amen.
So the second step is that when you are specific about your request, you've searched the scriptures concerning it, you know the mind of the Lord concerning it, you go into the prayer, you still have to ask. So the second step is ask in request, or ask for that request in prayer conversation. Ask for that request in prayer conversation. Ask for it. We don't just, people will say, silent prayers. Say that my heart, no, you have to ask. If I'm touched, I just have the need here, the need to drink water. So I have to request for it. Even though, it's just sensitivity that will make you saw that I have a need for the water, but I have to, and it was actually provided, but I want to still ask and make a request to drink the water. Praise God. So it's not just enough to have scriptures that cover your case. You have to ask. Your heart has to align. Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened. Verse 8, it says, for everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who seeks will find. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So we need to ask in prayer conversation. And we need, when we ask, according to Mark 11:23-24, we must believe that we receive the answer. We must believe. What do you do in the place of prayer? Number one, you have a desire. It's strong. Number two, you build persuasion in the word of God. You have a desire, which is strong. Then you build persuasion around it in God's word. And then the third thing you do is to ask. Ask. Be deliberate in your asking. If, for example, you said a red G-Wagon and a white car passes, you don't say, I claim that. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a specific thing. So you can ask for a car, for example. You ask for a G-Wagon. And maybe what comes to you is a Toyota Camry. It's coming. Because a lot of people will stop. Once a car hits, oh, I have a car. It's not G-Wagon, so let me just manage. No. If you build persuasion about something in the Word of God, we will get into that step very soon. See, you ask. And when you ask, because some people will ask, what do you do between the moment of asking and then the manifestation in receiving? It's thanksgiving. You keep thanking God for it. You think thanking God for it in good expectation. So the third step is be positive in your thinking. So if you ask for something specific, you have to align your mind, your working of your heart and your mind in the Word of God. You have to align. People can say, we want to confess around you to drag you contrary to what you asked for. No, you should be positive in your thinking. You should know that God is faithful. God is just to give you what you have requested for according to his word. That's what he says in 1 John 5:14. He said, this is the confidence that we have, that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. And then he's able to grant us the petition that we have desire of him. Say with me tonight, I will never settle for a second chance. So God is committed to his word. See, when we build our persuasion, Ephesians, no matter even the persuasion, so don't leave short of what God you have asked God for. Because no matter your persuasion, God is still able to do. But when we raise our expectation lower, we are negative in our thinking, then we don't get the desired results. Did you get that, brothers and sisters? So we build the persuasion, and the devil knows. That's why he attacks us in the area of our thoughts. And what do you do when those negative thoughts want to creep in? We are positive in our thinking, focusing on the promises and the faithfulness of God. Let me add that to it. You're positive in your thinking. So it's not just positive thinking or motivation. Mm-mm. You are focusing on the promises and the faithfulness of God. The Bible says the promises of God, they are yes and amen for us in Christ Jesus. That's our focus. The devil will likely walk through our thoughts. He will say we don't deserve it. Or he will say just manage this. You know what 2 Corinthians 10 says? 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. It talks about where the warfare is. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. He said, though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh, using mere human weapons. It's not by thoughts. He said, though, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God to overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments, theories. Where does those things occur? In the area of our thoughts. Arguments, theories. You don't merit it. You don't deserve it. I mean, people of like you don't get it. Oh, if you say people like this and this, oh, they are the most spiritual, so they deserve it. Or are you spiritual? This is how the devil works on our thoughts. And sometimes in the place of prayer, your mind is strayed. And you just get up after he has bombarded your mind with thought and say you don't merit it. So blessed be God. And then when people also raise things like that, he said, don't bother yourself. It can't happen. No. Ephesians 3:20 talks about it. No matter how you exercise your faith to ask, he said, God is still able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Look at what this one says. Amplified Classic said, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. So I will rather ask. Rather than shortchange myself. I would rather ask and keep expanding my heart. I keep expanding my capacity to receive. I would rather ask. So be positive in your thinking, focusing on the promises and the faithfulness of God. God does not fail. He watches over his word to perform it. So when you are waiting, Bible waiting is called what? Patience. That's Bible waiting. And patience is not a passive thing. It means while I'm waiting for manifestation, my words and my thoughts must align concerning that which I've asked for. My mind, my words, my confession, and then my thoughts. So my thought life should be in the word of God. We cannot accuse God. You know, sometimes in prayer, between asking and then manifestation, people will say, oh, why God's not faithful to me? God has refused. God doesn't love me. No, don't accuse God by that whining. You know what the Bible says about keeping our thoughts in Philippians 4:8? Whatsoever things are true, Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. He said, these are the things we need to think about. The Bible says, for me as a person, one thing that has helped me in my work and is still helping me is that Romans 8:32. If God did not spare his only begotten son, but gave him up for us all, how much more through him he shall freely give us all things. So it depends on me. So why I'm waiting, biblical waiting, which is called patience, is where the devil interferes in the signal strength of our communication. He wants to bring discouragement, he wants to bring fear, he wants to bring doubt. So your thoughts and must align with the word of God concerning what you are trusting him for. You are not shifting ground. You are not caving in. That's why Jesus, when he was giving us the model in Luke 18, when he was just talking about this principle of prayer conversation, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So there is that tendency that we can faint. There is that tendency that we can be weary. And that's what results in us asking for the same thing over and over again. In many instances, it's like, I don't know how to put it, but maybe I can explain it. To a place of understanding. When we do so consistently, we are truncating the process. I would rather dwell on the persuasion rather than look at the outward circumstances. So the mind is that battleground. The devil comes to attack the word of God, just like the parable of the sower. The same seed was sown, but some fell by the way ground. Some fell among thorns. Some fell on good ground. And even the ones that fell on good ground, they brought result in different persuasion and categories. So what am I saying tonight? When we are positive in our thinking, we are focusing on the promises of God and the faithfulness of God. Because he who promised will never fail. Praise God. The fourth step is to consistently guard our hearts. So the first one, we said, is to be specific about our request, but standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. The second one is when we are persuaded in the word of God, we know what the needs, our prayer needs are. We know what the will of the Lord is concerning those things. We should secondly ask. Ask in prayer conversation, believing that we receive answers from our faithful Father. God doesn't, what's the point in praying if we don't believe that he will answer? And the third, we said, be positive in your thinking, focusing on the promises and the faithfulness of God. That's why we are called believers. We believe the word of God. We believe God as the source of our lives. We believe that he is a faithful. And one of the things Job said in the Old Testament, he said, though he slay me, he said, I will put my trust in me. And he doesn't, from his own understanding at that time, when the people go through challenges, they regarded it as being slain. But we judge God faithful because God will not withhold anything that we ask according to his will. If we are waiting, sometimes it's a question of maturity or character development to be able to receive that blessing into our life. But our confession must not negate what the promises of God says in his word to us. Can I have an amen? So the fourth one is to consistently guard our heart. This is still part of spiritual warfare. When you make a request, you need to guard your heart. You need to guard your heart. And sometimes you need to guard this heart by your association, by your observation, and the teachings you expose your mind to. If anything will negate what you trust God for, that will bring doubt, fear is not of God. That's why the Bible says fear has torment. Doubt is not of God. It's an enemy of faith. So whatever it is, guard your heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, these are great scripture that you can meditate on your own. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 23. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23. So we have things that want to contest. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So there are diligent things that we must all do. There are discipline we must cultivate. Attending to his word, inclining our ears to his saying. Let them not depart from our eyes. Keeping them in the midst of our heart. He said, when we can do those four things, he said, they are life. They become life to us because we can find them. We can judge God faithful. And then they become what? Health. They become life and health to us. You know that the promises of God are yes and amen. You know that God is faithful to keep his promises concerning us. So we consistently guard our hearts. We choose our association. We choose our association. We choose the environment of our faith, that our faith and love will thrive. Some people are negative. So you ask God for something, they say, you ask God for that? I'm not sure. Some people are negative. They say, oh, you are trusting God for healing. So healing has ceased now. God doesn't heal anymore. He ended with the apostles. Sometimes a lot of people just want to interpret this life to us based on their own personal experiences. I think you and I should be deliberate about the word of God. About the word of God. About the word of God. Some people don't share our faith, but you can't talk negatively around them. So these things are deliberate and intentional. I'm mindful of what I see. I'm mindful of what I expose my mind to. I've mentioned to you before, since the day I listened to a celebrity, Madonna, who says she doesn't allow her kids to watch TV. Says she can't afford that other people's junk be deposited in the mind of her kids. She said her kid goes to bed at 8 p.m. every day. So, for her to achieve that, it means she was intentional. She was deliberate. So, these things, our association, the environment that our faith and love work grows, it's very important. I can't stay around people who say, oh, I can forgive, but I can't forget. You can't sow such seed. Because the word of God says, it's not me. He said, God is at work in me, both to will and to do his good pleasure. It doesn't withhold my sin. So why should I withhold other people's sin? Do you get the vibe? So if we are living in God, God is love. If we are living in him, that's what we reproduce. There is a Yoruba folklore. They said a sheep that walk with dogs will soon hit. Did you get what I just said? Yeah, that's the way it is. Association is very important. Then observation, what you are looking at. If you want to guard your heart, it's very important. What you are looking at. We look up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You will agree with me, if you look at the Nigeria economy, you will be discouraged every trillion seconds of the day. But you look at what God can do through your business, through your hands, because he has promised to bless the work of your hands. So what you observe, he said, observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you shall make your own way prosperous, and then you can have good success. Joshua 1:8. And then teaching talks about your hearing. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes. You know, our heart, just like our mind, is also powerful. It wars against the activities of our heart. So your heart is the canvas of your life. People draw on canvas. So your heart gives you the image to draw on the canvas of your life. If you say, oh, sickness is a way to humble me as a Christian, then that's what you have. He said, you shall have whatever you say. If you say, I can't prosper in Nigeria, that's what you are. If you also say, I can see the goodness of the Lord in this land, that's what you have. If you say, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, opportunity will not come to you. That's the truth. Because your mouth, your heart is like the magnet. You attract good or you repel good. So your heart is the canvas of your life. And your words will fix the landmarks of your life. For surveyors, who helps us? There is what they call, when they want to start construction, they do setting out. So our word fixes the landmarks of our lives. If I wake up in the morning and say, today, I will be hungry, it's likely that I will be hungry all through the day. But if I wake up in the morning and I believe God for opportunity, opportunities will not elude me that day. So that's why we have to be very careful in guarding our heart, our association, our observation, and the teaching that we expose our mind to. I love to be around faith people. It inspires. If you hang around those who talk word of fear, oh, they are killing everybody in Lagos, they are killing everybody in Nigeria, they will soon kidnap me. Maybe that's what we will attract. So you shall have whatever you say. Please, brother, sister, we must consistently get acquainted with the God of the Bible, not religious activities. A lot of people are just involved in religious activities. Some people pray because they are fearful. No. And let me say this so that he can balance it for us. Let God's goodness consistently overwhelm your heart and not the challenges of the time. Let's allow God's goodness to consistently overwhelm your heart and not the challenges of the time. The truth is that pain doesn't deny fact, but we choose the word of God to be the truth over fact. We choose the word. We choose the word. So be careful about what comes out of your mouth. I read a translation of Luke 6:45 that says, the words that we speak reflects the condition of our hearts. The word that we all speak reflects the true condition of our hearts. It's very important. Please, we must, for us to get answers to our prayer, we must be stickler to God's word. Number five, we must consistently meditate on God's promises. And not just when we have a need. We must. As a believer, you need to organize yourself. We must consistently meditate on God's promises. And not just when you have a need. I used to have a friend who is the son of a herbalist. Said his dad would wake up 4 a.m. in the morning and blow things northwest, southeast, and make incantation that there must be trouble in the village that day so that people can consult him. Praise God. I have another friend who's that sell coffee. So they pray every day that people should die so that they can get business. Praise the Lord. These are things that people are afraid to hear, but that's the truth. Somebody who digs the grave must go to work. You don't know. So for you and I who run businesses, we can't just take things for granted. People speak words. And so we must also learn to speak words. This is the day that the Lord has made. Favor comes to me. Life comes to me. I am health. I am whole. Life fall unto me in pleasant places. Everywhere I turn to today, I receive the favor of God. Men that I do not know will rise up and favor me. You are going into a place to go and submit proposal. Don't take it for granted. One man who wants to park your car can destabilize you and say, Oga, no day. And Oga is day. So you speak it. Life cooperates with me today. This is the city of Lagos. I have a portion in this city. So I take my portion. He said, the Lord maintain your lot. So you learn to see the circumstances around us is so overwhelming. So sometimes the syllable doesn't want to come out. But when you exercise yourself, that's a faith life. You exercise yourself. Say, body, readjust. You are not going to be tired. I need to submit this proposal today. So the body readjusts. I need to make this presentation today. The Bible says that when princes hear me and listen to me, their tongue will stick to their roof. They will say, after I have finished, where is your invoice? These are things. If you haven't been exercising it, start it. It works. It works. I mean, during EFC, we had that saying about finances. So I say every morning now, 1069, you attract resources. In case I'm teaching you, 1069 is the last four digits of my account number. You attract resources from all over the world. And since EFC, it's been working. And it will continue to work. Praise God. I say 1450, you attract resources. Resources to do God's word. And God's work in our generation. The thing doesn't adjust itself. If you are just saying, oh Lord, be specific. Be specific. Be specific. The Bible talks about, and that's another thing that maybe many of us have not been doing. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, he said, are they not ministering spirits? That's talking about angels. So you dispatch them. Some angels are just following people around, waiting for you to give an order. And when you give an order, they come to you. They come to you. They come to you. I mean, you are trying to woo a girl, and they said that the father doesn't want to see you. Yea, sir, the favor of God is upon me. When I enter, this man falls in love with me. You make declaration. Maybe that's a rhema word for somebody. So you constantly meditate on the promises of God. That's the fifth one. You meditate upon it. So you don't, the time you now have issues, it's very easy for scriptures to come. When I wanted to get married, my wife is watching. It's okay. We had some turbulence along that trip. I remember talking to my mentor, and the man gave me Isaiah 48. Said, all these things, they are grass. Said, the grass withers. The flower fades. Maybe I'm just helping somebody who needs that rhema. Since the shouts came from this side, so let me face this side. Said, so, he said, there is no need to cause trouble. Said, just keep saying it every day. So I kept saying it every day. The grass wither, the flower fade, this one shall come to pass. And so my father-in-law, blessed memory, said he wanted to see me. So I got him there. He sat at one end of the room. I sat at one end of the room. It was quiet for 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes, they said, you are a pastor. I said, yes, sir. Say, you want to marry my daughter? I said, yes, sir. Say, so go and start preparing. So treat the word of God like medicine. That's what I meant by five. Constantly meditate. Treat it like medicine. When you look at medicine, it serves dual purpose, for curative and preventive. So, curative is when the issues are there. Preventive, the issues will not even come up at all. And when you treat God's word like a medicine, you know what doctors will say to you? They say, if symptoms persist, I consult. What do they want to do? They want to increase the dosage. So, if it seems as if the problem is persisting, increase the dosage of the word of God. Gather more arsenal. So the word of God is medicine to all our flesh. That's what Proverbs 4:23 says. So it means whatever the needs of our lives, we have the word of God as either curative or preventive. You want to move from your business from one level to another, increase the dosage of the word of God. expand everything. I mean, look for things that has to do with profitability, that has to do with enlargement. Psalm 71 verse 21 says, God will increase your greatness and comfort you on every side. Isaiah 54 verse 2 says, enlarge, stretch. So these things, every area of our needs, God's word has taken care of it. But irony for every one of us, the temptation is to just get with the motion of church, religious activities that doesn't result in anything. Number six, live daily in the art of gratefulness. If you want to see answer to your prayers, live daily. And what a lot of people do in the place of prayer is complain, whine. I saw you, they go, they look me like this, God. No. Thanksgiving is key in our loving relationship with the Father. Thanksgiving. Even your children, your physical children, when you give them gift, if they don't say thank you, what do you say to them? You say, what do you say? And the child says, thank you. Then it invokes a sense of feeling. A good feeling. So consistently, if you want answered prayer, you must daily live in the heart of gratefulness. Always be joyful. And people will ask you when they see, they say, what is it about you today? Did you lick honey more than honey? I have seen the Lord's good. You know, when you are singing that song, somebody say, hey, share the testimony. Wait, it is coming. I say, I even thought he has a testimony. Change association at that point. There's no need. I don't need human mosquitoes around my life. Because when they bite you, it results in malaria. That faith, that little one that you have as mustard seed, they can steal it away. No, you can't dampen my joy. So, the art of gratefulness. Philippians 4 talks about it. James 1:17 talks about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18 talks about it. But let's read Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. What does it say? Hebrews 13:15. Yeah, that's what I want. But let's read Amplified Classic. That through him, that is through Jesus, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice. You know why it's called a sacrifice? Because sometimes it's not convenient. Sometimes you don't feel like doing it. But he said, when we do it constantly, at all times, up to God, that sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, and then we are thankful, acknowledging, confessing, and glorifying his name. Miracles happen. So living daily in that heart of gratefulness is an attitude of the heart. And if you don't put limit to it, hey, there is nothing that can hinder your miracle. In John 11:40, Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus. And he made a statement. They said, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. That's bad enough. By now, he's thinking. That's also bad enough or worse enough. But the Bible says that he said, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. So live daily. God hears us always. But we need that attitude. And lastly, tonight, the step 7. Make every of your prayer conversation a statement of faith. If you want to see answer to your prayer, it has to be a statement of faith. It's not, you are not saying, if thou be thy will. Mm-mm. It is his will. You are not praying and say, through the Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Mm-mm. He said, ask the Father in my name. It's not, ask the Father, or you are praying for Jesus' sake. Hey, people pray over food. They say, bless this food, O Lord, for Christ's sake. It's not Christ who wants to chop the amala. It's you. Father, we thank you for this amala. Thank you for the flow of your spirit through this bakery. Praise God. Praise God. So make every of your prayer conversation a statement of faith. It's not, it shouldn't be fast. Lord, I dare like this, oh, so you go help me. Mm-mm. It shouldn't be feeling. Faith doesn't deny facts. But facts, we need to accept them, but the reality is the God's word concerning that matter. So, faith follows light, which is divine illumination. And if you start from where we started, that we are specific, we are asking in request, specific things, we are positive in our thinking, focusing on the promises and the faithfulness of God, we are consistently guarding our hearts while we are waiting for the manifestation, and we constantly meditate upon God's promises. So sometimes you pray, and then you ask God for specific things, and it's as if you are not getting the answer. So as you meditate upon God's promises, you have, the Bible says, add to your faith. There are scriptures that you are adding, thanking God about that thing. It's a matter of time. The heart will yield that increase unto you. And then you live daily in gratefulness. You make every of your prayer conversation a statement of faith. Hey, your confession is intact. What is confession? When we confess, this is what confession is. We are affirming what we believe. We are testifying to what we know. And we are witnessing to the truth that we have embraced. That's confession. Confession is affirming what you believe, testifying to what you know, and then witnessing to the truth you have embraced. If you say, I have joy, it's not joy, it's not like this. I have joy, 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 joy in my hand. You know, during praise worship. Joy, joy, joy in my heart. This praise worship leader doesn't know what I'm going through. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. It's not, it has nothing to do with feelings. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah 43:26? It said, bring forth your just reason. So we can come in the place of prayer, reminding God in faith. And faith is contagious. 1 John 5:14 talks about it. It said, this is the victory. No, 5:4. Said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So our faith overcomes. Our faith overcomes. Praise God. Can we stand? Let's just pray. Let's just pray in the Spirit.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,